Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus replied, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The teaching of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is perfect and revives the soul. Amen. Midway upon the journey of our life together this season, Jesus cleanses the temple of its rodeo-like atmosphere and of its brokers and traders. All the Gospels recount this story, albeit in slightly different ways. And even though this lectionary cycle, this year B, is commonly dubbed the year of Mark, from now until the third Sunday of Easter, with the exception being the Passion / Palm Sunday, we will hear John's perspective on the life, ministry, and death of Christ. And while Matthew and Mark and Luke attribute the cleansing of the temple as the cause of Jesus' crucifixion, John does not. And rather than elicit the ire of the Jewish leadership, Jesus causes them to think and ask, "What's your sign, Jesus? What's your sign?" Questions like this one have always been posed to those prophets and reformers, those that whenever they strive to renew the church and the world. The examples are innumerable, but here's a small sampling. Think of Hildegard, Martin Luther, Charles and John Wesley, Sojourner Truth, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They were called to give society a sign of their renewing work. And this season of Lent, filled with spiritual practices and embodied promises, we are allowed to join these saints in finding out the answer to the question, "What is your sign, people of God, that you are in the process of being renewed?" Jesus answered the question posed by this Jewish leadership with his own sign, that of his death and resurrection. We have to remember that the temple was the pinnacle of all creation, the zenith of the process of God making this world intimately his own home. Solomon had built this first iteration of the temple, which was destroyed in 586 BC. And Herod himself finalized the rebuilding of the temple, which Jesus himself entered. The layout of this temple served to reinforce the how and the who had direct access to God at any moment of life. Here's a brief summary of the layout. Those who are not a part of God's chosen people had access to this outer perimeter, this outer rectangular perimeter of the court called the Court of the Gentiles. And if you were to walk into its main entrance, you would enter into the Court of the Women. And if you're a woman, there's the end of your journey. If you were a male, you would pass on through the entrance into kind of the outer area of the temple named the Court of Israel. And beyond that, to enter into the place of the temple where the sacrifices of livestock, bread, and grain were offered on behalf of the men and the women of the people of Israel, you had to be a descendant of Levi. Now, to go into the temple itself and then to gain access to where the presence of God dwelt, the Holy of Holies, as it is called, you had to be the high priest on the Day of Atonement when he sprinkled blood on the ark to expiate the sins of the people. Rather than be a light to the nations, the temple limited access to the very presence of God. The sellers and livestock and the money changers only served to reinforce this limited access by allowing the people of God to purchase livestock for the priests, to offer them on their behalf to God. And so as Jesus enters the temple complex, he drove out these folks as a sign of renewal, that the Lord God who had brought the people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, was to be the sole focus of the people of God. Yet they were enslaved by a system that kept them from experiencing the depth of their renewal in every moment of their lives with God. So when asked, "What's your sign, Jesus, of this renewal?" he gave them a sign that is greater than anything they would be able to imagine. Let me let you in on it. As John's gospel has a great deal of mystery to it, we will see this sign on Good Friday, a sign of nails and cross and blood and water, incense, burial shrouds, and a garden with a tomb. Yes, the temple was to be destroyed, but not the temple rebuilt in 46 years. Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came to dwell with us in our humanity, his body has become God's temple. His wounds and scars, the cement that makes his life and death, our life and death. Our wounds, his wounds. As he died and on the third day he was raised, so too will we experience that life-renewing presence of God. So what's your sign, people of God? Let me show you a sign of mine. A sign that I will never forget in that moment of my life when I saw clearly the person of Jesus Christ as life given to me and to my family. I was in elementary school, faithfully attending CCD, my confirmation classes on Wednesday, Mass on Sundays, confession seldom. We would typically arrive to the Mass just in time to hear the homily. That's not to say that you should follow my example today in your own lives. The parish priest, Father Antonio, had served the church that my great-grandparents, my grandparents, and my parents had attended. He had a great love for migrants crossing the border and for the orphans and the poor living in tin shacks just a couple of streets from the actual parish. He had convinced families of modest means, like my own parents at the time, to commit to bringing food for his mission, a mission that he sought as kind of the touchstone for a renewal of the local church. And he did it by saying, "Let's take my parsonage and turn it into a temporary shelter." So one afternoon, my parents, sister, and I pulled up to the parsonage, turned shelter, with loads of rice and beans and tortillas and oranges, you name it, folks. We had a meal. And as I begrudgingly took the first load of rice into this shelter, my eyes locked with another. He was a kid my age, running around while his parents talked with Father Antonio about things that I don't quite remember anymore, but they were important. And in that split moment, I experienced a mystery in my own body that brought me into a relationship with folks I hadn't even known their first name. I saw how his wounds touched my wounds, how his poverty touched the poverty of spirit in myself, how his life and our life became one. Now, if that's not a sign of Jesus Christ, then I don't know what one is. So what's your sign, people of God? The sign of God's renewal in your life, does it mean that we have to be pursuing these deep relational encounters every single day? It also doesn't mean that in order for us to be right with God, we need to have perfected or polished personalities. It is enough for us to wonder, ponder, ask, where is Christ appearing to me, breathing on me his spirit, which transforms every aspect of my life into the very body of Christ, the temple of our God? I remember my sign. I wonder what your sign has been or could be. Amen.